Welcome. We are in the middle of talking about a call to arms, general quarters. This is not a drill, battle stations, particularly for parents. Now, when I say that, I do not mean that you are supposed to pick up a particular political viewpoint, a particular campaign, and get into strife about it. That's not what I'm saying at all. We're working here from 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and we know that we are in perilous times. We are in dangerous, difficult days. And the kind of general quarters that we're calling is get in your place. That is, be doing your assignment. We're saying pick up the ops manual and do things according to the ops manual. And we worked down to the end of this chapter and we see it's all about the Word of God, right? It's about knowing, believing, doing the Word of God and teaching it to our children. We went over to Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter and we saw that we have a strong directive as parents to be teaching the Word of God to our children ourselves. Not saying that we should not employ others in some way. And thank you very much for all those who do help us in that mission. But we are ultimately responsible. We must be teaching the Word of God to our children, talking of them in our house, in our everyday life. And we went over to Isaiah 54. Of course, we could not help but celebrate the 13th verse where it says, "All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom." Of course, it could be translated, "All your offspring will be learned of God," and they can't be learned unless they are taught. But Jesus quoted as taught of the Lord. And we mentioned also as we were going toward that, earlier in the chapter, it says, "Your maker is your husband." And from the mention of Timothy's mother and grandmother, and we know that he was in a bi-ethnic home, we don't know anything about his father. I deduce from that we should encourage single mothers. We have so many single mothers. And the Lord can help you out, right? So embrace the Lord to help you in that role of father and husband. And while I have just mentioned that, let me also mention the role of grandparents. You know, Timothy's grandmother was also mentioned with his mother. And I want to encourage grandparents that their role as grandparents is very important. Of course, today in our society, we have many grandparents who are parenting their grandchildren. But in any case, and maybe many older people don't actually have children close to them, but they can certainly fulfill some of their parental abilities in the church, because we need, and in the neighborhood, we need this parental input so much in our society. So please do not say, "Oh, I've been there and done that," because you probably haven't. You probably, many of the older people, generation of my parents, have not tried to be a parent and a worker, both, because you had stable marriages and a good economy. So you don't know what the younger people are facing. And you don't know, because of inflation, how poor they are and how bedraggled and fatigued they are. So, of course, if you're a grandmother of my generation, you may have done that. But nevertheless, retirement is not in the Bible. And grandparenting, be encouraged, is so important. It is just reaping a harvest. But you can put in things because you've had a lifetime to learn the Word of God and you have had a lifetime to stack up money and hopefully learn how to interact. So you have so much to put into your grandchildren and the other children around you. And we salute and celebrate those grandparents who are once again serving as parents. The Lord bless you mightily. And just as Eunice and Lois are saluted and encouraged and lauded, so should these godly grandparents and single mothers who are doing double duty. So hallelujah, and the Lord bless you. Today I want to pick up, go back to 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter and work through that verse so that you understand Satan's plan of attack. The enemy's battle plan is against the Word, specifically against the Word. And his overall plan is to send a flood of lies so that the Word of God is discredited. The Word of God is discredited so people don't receive it, so believers don't believe it, they doubt it, and so that they don't teach it to their children. But where is the power in our arsenal? It is the Word of God. Where is the seed of kingdom of heaven on earth? It is the Word of God. And so we need to stick more closely to it and speak it. And if we want heaven on earth, we need to be speaking the Word and not doubting it, going toward the Word and not away from it. And we will see as we work through this, how this works, how Satan's methods are. We are not ignorant of his methods, but let's point them out, particularly with regard to how they work for our children. And let's say just a word here about what time it is. We say in the New American Standard, the first verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 is, "But realize that in the last days difficult times will come." Well, we know that they're difficult, right? But let me say that this is not a time of fear. There is much information out there that would make you think it is. And in fact, much of the teaching that you have heard would make that you think that this is a time of great fear. This is the time of greatest fear. But that is all wrong. It is a time of faith. This is a lie that you should be frightened. No, if you are a blood-bought, spirit-directed believer, this is not time to be frightened. Do what you've drilled to do. Start working according to the ops manual at your battle station, because you know what the end of the book says. We win. Yes? So it's not a time of fear. It's a time of faith. It is not a time of distrust. You know, I think there's been quite a lot of effort to teach wrong things about the timeline so that people will become distrustful. So forget all of that, all right? We don't imagine that we already know everything that the Word of God says, so study it. And listen for more orders, because your God is alive, right? And we worship and serve Jesus, right? So he is alive. So it's not a time of trust, but once again, a time for faith. An active faith. And it's certainly not time for sleeping. It is now time to wake up. It is high time to wake up and be on guard. And nowhere more than your own household. Hallelujah. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Men will be lovers of themselves. Oh yes, we see that in our society. In fact, we have been taught to love ourselves. In fact, there have been books written on the detrimental psychological results of traditional, old-fashioned Christianity because it supposedly created some kind of neurosis. Lowliness of mind. How many times have you heard a sermon lately on lowliness of mind? No, we've been taught that we must love ourselves. Don't be too hard on yourself. This is what psychology teaches. And if you'll excuse the shock value, there's a whole school of psychology that says don't masturbate. What they mean is don't say "I must" to yourself. Well, excuse me, but there are some things that I think we should say, I must. For instance, if I promise, I must fulfill my promise. And so making up a word that sounds shocking is just part of the lie flood. And we see what has happened in the school with the self-esteem movement. And of course, there is some truth that God wants you to feel loved and God wants to exalt you in due time. But the way self-esteem was taught in school, we can see the results of that and has been dropped, right? And so, could I tell you some stories? I do a survey at the first of my freshman level class, and one of the questions is, in the Civil War, who or what was the Union? And typically half of my students cannot answer that. One of my students, when I go over the survey, and she said, well, no, you can't tell us that. You can't tell us that this is an easy question that a third or fifth grader who's had American history. You are hurting our self-esteem. Of course, my argument is, no, you are now in the driver's seat of your life. You are adult learners. And if you are that far behind in social studies, you need to know it so you can allot more time for studying. If this were algebra class, freshman algebra, and you didn't remember your multiplication tables, it would not be good for you not to know that. Right? And in fact, in algebra, there are tests, so you are appropriately placed. But in a social studies class, often people are not prepared, don't study, and then they think it's the professor's problem. Lovers of self, we're taught to love ourselves in the wrong way. It's the wrong direction. We're lovers of God, and we know that God is a much better king. When we love ourselves, we end up in Satan's bondage. But when we love God, we find ourselves much more loved. When we love other people by loving God, then we find ourselves in a state of love, which is what is wanted. Lovers of money. Have we not been taught that what we should do in this life and in our society is get money? I run into students all the time who tell me, no, there is no such thing as altruism. And they truly believe it. So I ask them, do they remember their mother? And did she change their diaper for money? That gives a new thought to their mind. I have students who really don't know. When I say the golden rule, they really think that that's that rule that says the people who have the gold make the money. And I say, no, that's called the other golden rule. Let's go review what the golden rule is. They don't know. That's a society we're living in. And greed is the root of evil. It makes one unhappy. It pierces your heart. We know this. How could it be that we have let society go to such an extent that people think that money really is the end of life? We've been taught a lie. It's a flood of a lie. We need to raise up the standard of the Word of God. People will be boastful. Well, I don't know. We tease about everything is bigger in Texas. It's become a joke. And it's not even recognized. Boastfulness is not recognized, but often taught as a proper technique, a necessary technique to get up with it, or you will not be able to be a good salesperson or hired or something. And why? Because we are so arrogant. Arrogant. Conceited. We are vaunting ourselves against God. I see freshmen who come in and who cannot comport themselves in a classroom because they are so arrogant, they truly believe that they should be in charge. And of course, I see faculty and administration in high schools who are not giving a good role model. Nothing to say about the clergy, all right? Whereas we know the true direction is to give honor. We're supposed to honor all men. And the number one commandment for children is to honor their parents. And of course, parents can honor their children in an appropriate way. Grown children don't always obey their parents. right? Small children should obey their parents. But we can always honor our parents. And this becomes the root of having a good family. We become arrogant. We're following Satan's footsteps as if there is no authority higher than us. Fortunately, God is an authority who is for us. And if we kneel our knees, when we surrender our will, when we die to self, we are alive to God. And this is really a big dividing line between true religion, the following of the Lord Jesus Christ, and other religions. There is no surrender in them. And you see that people continue to worship themselves, and therefore there cannot be any real, true community and real, true growth, although there can be some skill attainment. But no other religious community, even though they may try to be moral, some of them, they cannot do what is done in a believing congregation where everyone comes in on their knees, so to speak. Revilers. Reviling means verbally abusing. And of course, we know that our society is full of this. It has been modeled for us on TV as if this were an entertainment. And it's often gloried in, often not even recognized, at least by the young people. Of course, some employers would notice quite quickly. And I noticed that today's youth have been able to turn what seems to be polite into a sort of reviling, you know, a way of saying yes, ma'am, many times in a tone of voice that you know that they mean anything but respect. Revilers, rather than speaking blessing, which is the right direction, the Word of God would have us bless and curse not. Disobedient to parents. Wow. Yes, we know that this is true. In fact, the flood of lies has come into our society to an extent that social scientists and social servants, social workers, are horrified that the Christian faith would teach obedience, that obedience of children to their parents is necessary. And they assume that that is one step away from physical abuse, and the whole word obedience is has turned negative. In fact, when I assigned my students to write a little report on deference, I found that most of them, if they used a modern dictionary, they would come back with a definition that implied that any kind of deference was negative, was obsequious. Disobedient to parents. I don't believe that we understand how far we have slid. There was a wonderful movie, I believe it was Time Traveler, in which a believer of the 1800s came and lived regular life in our modern society, went to a movie and heard blasphemy, and went to the soda shop and heard disobedience to parents and was shocked. But of course, what was going on for us was so mild. Ungrateful. Yes, we have a culture of resentment, a politics of resentment, a psychology of resentment. And even in the church, it's easy to involve oneself in a culture of self-righteousness. When I talk about controversial issues with my students, which is, of course, something I have to do and delight to do in my course, often I hear their arguments are based in rights. For instance, we were talking about the definition of marriage and the various sides in our society. And one of the students said, excuse me, why are we even talking about children? Right? No, this is a rights issue. This is not about a common good issue like what's best for kids. And he questioned the very notion of the assumptions of the conversation at that point. An ungrateful culture, because it's all about I, me, mine. Right? Unloving. Oh, my. Oh, my. Unloving. We have gone so far that I'm not sure we have a model in our heads of what love is. I'm not sure we do. Unless we were blessed with one of the few homes where there was a good marriage and a good home, I don't know that. I think we're skeptical about marriage really being possible. In fact, some of my friends think that getting married is unethical, that marriage as an institution is unethical because people should not be chattel. Do you see that argument, while logical in itself, fails to embrace the possibility of love, giving, pouring oneself out for the other in a mutual way? I understand that there are some concerns about the younger generation now being able to bond because they are so used to social interaction in a virtual world, including sexual interaction being in a virtual world. Clearly, what we need in response to this is Jesus. Singing love, love, love didn't make the situation better. And young people today, when I talk to them, seriously question the very notion of penal justification because they are offended at the idea of sin, and they don't necessarily buy the idea of God, and certainly not that God could be judge. And that's why we need specifically what Jesus brings to us as a model of how God loves us. Even though we were unlovely, Jesus died for us, and we are armed with the same mind. This is the Word of God, and this is the only hope for the society that we have now. Irreconcilable. Well, before I go on to that, let's say something about unloving. So that's the flood of lies that we're living in. But what's the opposite? God is love. And I think that our society still remembers, most of the society knows, that when they're in great trouble, they can come to the church. The church believes in forgiveness, and the church has always involved itself in charity. And many people don't want to admit that, but we have a good tradition there, good reputation still. Although it's often denied, it's simply the fact that still many charities are conducted by the church. God is love, and we find ourselves more loving when we live in His love.